Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Elisheva Kamenetsky, and today we will begin the study of Sefer Devarim, focusing on Parshat Devarim. In rabbinic literature, Sefer Devarim is referred to as Mishnah Torah, the review book, the final book of the Torah that reviews the previous four books. Clearly, it's not just a repetition of all four books, as it's just one book and is much smaller than the other four books combined. But like any review book, what would be included in this particular Sefer was carefully chosen. And one of the primary questions which we will be focusing on throughout the study of the Sefer is what were the criteria for what was included in Sefer Devarim as a review of the previous four books, and what was not necessarily included in the Sefer. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in his introduction to the Sefer, addresses this very question, and he tells us that there are really two categories, with some subcategories, that were used as the criteria for what Moshe Rabbeinu would choose to include in this final book of the Torah. The first category is the category of mitzvot. The Ramban teaches us that the mitzvot which appear in Sefer Devarim, and there are many, many mitzvot that appear in Sefer Devarim. In fact, according to the counting of the Sefer Achinach, there are close to 200, and that's approximately a third of all of the mitzvot in the Torah are actually included in this one Sefer. According to the Ramban, those mitzvot that are included in the Sefer are mitzvot hatzrichot liYisrael. They are the mitzvot that B'nai Yisrael needed. At the end of the Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu will be separating from his beloved people. He is the one and only leader that they have ever had, and he has shepherded them through many, many difficult situations. He's given them the incredible gifts of the Torah and brought them up until the border of Eretz Yisrael. Their beloved leader, Moshe, will depart from them, just as they are about to enter the beloved land promised to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu chooses, in these last few days before he separates from his beloved people, to share with them many mitzvot that, as the Ramban said, they will need and need to hear again. What constitutes need? Some, although not all, of the mitzvot are mitzvot that are new to them because they are only applicable in the land of Israel. And as B'nai Israel are entering Eretz Yisrael, they need to learn about them. Others are mitzvot that are not unique to Eretz Yisrael, and they have never been mentioned before at all, and therefore they need to hear about them. This, of course, raises a curiosity that we will address when we come across these mitzvot in Sefer Devarim. Why haven't they ever been mentioned in the previous 38 years since the Torah was given at Har Sinai? Why has Moshe Rabbeinu chosen to wait until right now, when B'nai Yisrael are entering into Eretz Yisrael? But not all of the mitzvot in the Sefer are new. Some are mitzvot that they have already heard about and learned about. But Moshe deems it necessary for them to hear about them again and to be repeated again. Perhaps they need to be repeated because there are some further explanation that he wishes to provide for them at this point. Or perhaps they need to be repeated because they are just those kinds of things that people are very tempted to do or to violate, and they need to be warned over and over again to stay away from those behaviors. And then the Ramban tells us that there is other content in Sefer Devarim besides mitzvot. The Ramban explains, Terem shehitchil leva'er ha-Torah, hitchil lehochicham, Lahaskir lahem avonotehem. Says the Ramban, and we will certainly see this in Parshat Devarim in particular, that there will be sections of the Sefer that are devoid of mitzvot. Whether there are new mitzvot or they are mitzvot that are being reviewed. And Moshe Rabbeinu chooses, before he explains or introduces to B'nai Yisrael a mitzvot, to give them tochacha, to rebuke them, and to remind them about their previous sins. What is the role of this part of Sefer Devarim? The Ramban attributes two important reasons for why Moshe chooses to give tochacha before he speaks about mitzvot. Number one, lehodia chasidav imahem, to remind the people about the incredible kindness of the Ribono Sha'olam, to remind B'nai Yisrael that their relationship has not been smooth sailing. B'nai Israel has made mistakes, and they have acted in a defiant way to God while traveling in the Midbar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves them and still continues to protect them, to guide them, and to bring them into their beloved Eretz Yisrael. The second goal of reminding them of their past sins is not just to remind them of the bedrock of love and unconditional commitment and support that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for B'nai Israel, but to remind them also that they themselves need to be careful in the future. The Ramban teaches us, "Sheyochichu b'dvarav, sheyo yachziru lekil kolam, pen yosifu b'chol chatotam." Says Moshe Rabbeinu to his beloved people, "I know you really well, like a parent knows their child, and I know you have tendencies and weaknesses, perhaps to complain, to look to other paths, to serve other gods. And I want to remind you that you have made that mistake before, and to support you, to encourage you, to warn you not to err in those ways in the future." According to the Ramban, these are the things that we will find in Sefer Devarim. Some mitzvot that either need to be repeated again or are being introduced for the first time, and conversations and discussions about things that B'nai Israel have done in the past to remind them of the incredible relationship and love that God still has for his people despite their sins, and also to make sure they do not repeat those sins of the past. When I think about this particular Ramban, I think to myself that Sefer Devarim is of course representative of what all of Torah is about. There are technical instructions within Sefer Devarim, the do's and the don'ts, the mitzvot, the how to behave, where to go, what to do, and when to do it. And then there's the conversations about our values, about what we need to do in order to nurture our relationships, to feel close, bein adam lemakom, between us and God, and bein adam lechavero, between us and our fellow man. What are those elements? What is the mindset that we need to have if we are going to be the best Avdei Hashem, the best servants of God possible? As we study the Sefer together, each week we will highlight aspects of the Parsha and discuss why Moshe chose to include that content specifically in Sefer Devarim, and discuss the lessons that we can learn from the Parsha for our lives today. Rav Simcha Bunim of Psechia read Sefer Devarim every day of his life. He found that this last speech of Moshe Rabbeinu to his beloved people could serve as a text for us in our everyday lives to guide us to be the best that we can be. It was his chosen Musar Sefer. When we look carefully at Parshat Devarim, we will note that there is not much discussion of actual mitzvot. In fact, the Sefer Achinuch only identifies two mitzvot in this Parsha, but it is mostly a reflection of the past. It begins by listing the setting. This conversation, Ela HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe, these are the words that Moshe spoke, is not a conversation between God and the Jewish people, but a direct conversation between Moshe and the Jewish people. When does it take place? It takes place in the 40th year in the Midbar, just a little over a month before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. The setting continues with detailed locations that Rashi tells us are veiled references to events in the Midbar, not B'nai Israel's proudest moments, events that include complaining in the Midbar, wanting to return back to Egypt, the sin of Baal Peor, complaining about the Mun, the sin of the golden calf, and the sins of Korach and the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes the people for their failings and encourages them to keep the Torah as they enter into Eretz Yisrael. He also recounts in this parsha some more recent events: the refusal of the nations of Moab and Ammon to allow B'nai Israel to pass through their countries, the wars against Sihon and Og, and the choice of the Shvatim, the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe, to settle on the other side of the Yarden. Rashi teaches us that we are to learn lessons from Moshe and the fact that he waited until just before his death to rebuke the people. We are to learn from here when to give tochacha so that it will be most effective. It's interesting to note that according to this, that this section of Sefer Devarim, beginning with Parshat Devarim and the rebuke within it, the rebuke at the beginning of the Parsha is only in veiled references. Perhaps this too teaches us something about how to give effective rebuke. Moshe doesn't launch into a diatribe against the people. He lets them know in a gentle and more subtle way, referring to places where they sinned, that they fell short. John Gottman, a well-known psychologist and marriage therapist, in his book, Seven Principles of Marriage, discusses what makes marriages work. And he discusses the difference between complaints and criticism. In his words, criticizing your partner is different than voicing a complaint. When one voices a complaint, it's usually around specific issues, whereas criticism is an attack on their person. It's an attack on your partner at the core of their character. In effect, you are dismantling the whole being when you criticize. The important thing is to learn the difference between expressing a complaint and criticizing. He gives the following example. A complaint sounds like this. I was scared when you were running late and didn't call me. I thought we had agreed that we would do that for each other. A criticism sounds like this. You never think about how your behavior is affecting other people. I don't believe you are that forgetful. You're just selfish. You never think of others. You never think of me. He writes, the problem with criticism is that when it becomes more pervasive, it paves the way for other, far more destructive habits in a relationship. And most importantly, it leads to contempt and doesn't motivate others to improve. In the veiled references at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing specific instances where the Jewish people have veered from the right path. But he does so in a more gentle and subtle way. And he does not suggest that they are core problems with the relationship with God. In doing so, he is teaching us that when we give rebuke to others, we need to be sensitive about how we give that rebuke so that that rebuke will be motivating to others to improve and not lead them to believe that we have lost faith in their whole person. Interestingly, later on in the Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu, as other great leaders do, do level criticisms, or what John Gottman would call not just complaints against the Jewish people. But Rabbi Jonathan Sachs explains that leaders like Moshe are able to do so because they have already laid a bedrock of belief and unconditional love in the Jewish people. There is a story about Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky from his youth that I always think about in the parent-child dynamic, which is, of course, a model for our relationship with Hashem. As a young child, his father caught him playing chess on Rosh Hashanah. And after he found him playing chess and he looked at him with disapproval, after all, it's Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, a day we are careful with every moment of our time to be used productively for the relationship of Hashem. Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky apologized to his father, and he said, I'm sorry, I should not have been spending my time playing chess on that day. He looked dejected, and his father then responded to him, did you at least win? With a smile on his face. Here is a model of a relationship between parent and child, where a parent shares complaint and criticism to their child, but at the same time is able to show the child that they care and root for their child's successes in life. There are many messages in Parshat Devarim. Perhaps one that we can focus on is understanding our roles as mentors, as friends, as parents, in giving critique to other people, and to recognize that when we give that rebuke to others, we need to do it in a way that is most productive. Part and parcel of that productivity is that the person giving the rebuke is somebody who has shown unconditional love in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu has to the Jewish people, bearing the burden of leading the Jewish people for 40 years in the Midbar, positioned him as a person who would be able to give that rebuke, whether in veiled references or direct criticisms, so that the Jewish people understood that he was simply looking to continue to elevate them and their core selves, that he validated their worth and their value, and that was the motivation of his critiques. Thank you for studying together with the OU's Women's Initiative.